Job chapter 13, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Lo, mine eye hath seen all this. Mine ear hath heard and understand it. What ye know, the same do I know also. I am not inferior to you. Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God, but ye are forgers of lies. Ye are all physicians of no value. Oh, that ye would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom. Hear now my reasoning, and hearken to the pleadings of my lips. Will ye speak wickedly for God, and talk deceitfully for Him? Will ye accept His person? Will ye contend for God? Is it good that He should search you out, or as one man mocketh another, do ye so mock Him? He will surely reprove you, if ye do secretly accept persons. Shall not His excellency make you afraid, and His dread fall upon you? Your remembrances are like unto ashes, your bodies to bodies of clay. Hold your peace, let me alone, that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth, and put my life in mine hand? Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him, but I will maintain mine own ways before Him. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before Him. Hear diligently my speech, and my declaration with your ears. Behold, now I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified. Who is he that will plead with me? For now if I hold my tongue, I shall give up the ghost. Only do not two things unto me. Then will I not hide myself from thee. Withdraw thine hand far from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid. Then call thou, and I will answer, or let me speak, and answer thou me. How many are mine iniquities and my sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and holdest me for thine enemy? Wilt thou break a leaf driven to and fro? And wilt thou pursue the dry stubble? For thou writest bitter things against me, and makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth. Thou puttest my feet also in the stocks, and lookest narrowly unto all my paths. Thou settest a print upon the heels of my feet, and he as a rotten thing consumeth, as a garment that is moth-eaten. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. Job continues in chapter 13, hear his response to Zophar. And in continuing that response, we can divide this chapter into two portions. The first portion is when Job addresses his friends, friends as they are, and then in the second portion, when he addresses himself to God. In the midst of this chapter, we see Job's unshakable faith in the Lord, that while he has been found, as we have seen, to speak rashly, to speak in a fever, if you will, to put conditions on his obedience and service to God, which is never right to do, that even in the midst of that, Job maintains an unshakable faith in God. And so, when his friends accuse him of striking against God's majesty, when his friends accuse him of being a hypocrite, again, as we've said before, this is something that he cannot countenance and will not countenance. And so what we see Job doing once again in this chapter is he is asking his friends to simply pipe down, to stop the multitude of words. And he does so in a couple of different arguments. The first thing he says is, I know everything you've told me. I know it. I know that God is majestic and righteous and holy, and that no man is able to stand in His sight. I know that. I know God punishes evildoers and that God rewards the righteous. I know all of that. You're not telling me anything new, and you're certainly not comforting me. You are worthless physicians. You have come to be a doctor to my soul, and as far as I've seen it thus far, the cure is worse than the disease. because they are ascribing some wickedness to Job that he does not possess. They are ascribing to Job this kind of karmic understanding that Job has done some great evil, and that's why the Lord is striking out at him. And so Job, even in the midst of those accusations, in the midst of his body falling apart, in the midst of him losing everything, he says, though he slay me, I will trust him. You don't know who you're talking to here. And if you would just be quiet for a bit and let me speak, you might begin to understand. So that's the first thing. The first argument against his friends is, I know all these things. The second argument is, you are speaking bad doctrine. You're mocking him. You're mocking God. You're making him out to be something he is not. You are calling him, you are limiting him by saying he must do evil to those who have done evil, and he must do good to those who have done good. And you put me in the category of evil because you see calamity upon me. And so you're mocking and limiting God. Will ye speak wickedly for God? Will you talk deceitfully for him? And then he says, you've turned the tables on God. Will ye accept his person? Will ye contend for God? Shouldn't you want it the other way around? Isn't that what he's saying here? He goes on to tell them that the Lord will certainly reprove them for their bad doctrine that they have taught. And then the third argument, first of all, I know what you know. The second argument is you're speaking wickedly for God. And the third argument is you are but dust and ashes. Your remembrances are likened to ashes and your bodies to bodies of clay. And then he repeats himself, hold your peace. Let me alone that I may speak, and let come on me what will. All right, so then he says, In that instance, he puts his life in God's hands, doesn't he? Let me speak, and let God do what he deems righteous unto me. So then in verses 14 and 15 and 16, 17 and 18, right? Yeah, 14 through 18, Job declares his faith in God. These are stout statements of faith. Listen to what he says. Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hand? Why would I be doing that? Because though he slay me, I will trust him. I will, and the but there, that I think that's an unfortunate translation. I think it should be and. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him, and I will maintain mine own ways before him. Not mine own ways in contrast to his ways, but that I will continue to do what I have done. I will continue to trust him. I will continue to obey. I will continue as it was even before this calamity came. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. Hear diligently my speech and my declaration with your ears. Behold, I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified. Wow, that's an unshakable faith that Job has. We might see that it's not a perfect faith. We have seen Job limiting and putting conditions on his obedience and so on. But it is an unshakable faith. Job is not faultless here, but he is faithful. He is indeed faithful. All right, then in verses 19 to the end of the chapter, Job changes his speech. And he now addresses himself to the Lord. Notice, who is he that will plead with me? For now if I hold my tongue, I shall give up the ghost. So now he's turning and he's going to plead unto God. Here's what he says to God. Only do not two things unto me, then will I not hide myself from thee. Withdraw thine hand far from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid. Then call thou and I will answer, or let me speak and answer thou me. Okay, well, Job is asking for a release from his suffering. And again, Commentators are divided as to whether Job is blameworthy in this or not, because it does seem from the language it does seem that Job is calling out conditionally to God, that he is not presenting himself or addressing himself to God unconditionally. However, that would seem to be a contradiction as to what Job has just said a few verses back. So we give Job the benefit of the doubt here, and what we're saying is that Job is pleading with God, not unconditionally, but conditionally, that the Lord would indeed hear him and take away those things that are putting Job to fright at this present time. And there's nothing wrong with pleading to God to take away those things, to deliver him out of the calamity and trouble that he's in. So we want to give Job the benefit of the doubt here, because he is in the midst of a discourse where he has evinced his unshakable faith in God, and he has already put himself at God's perfect and complete disposal, right? Even though he slay me, I'll trust him. All right, so then call thou and I will answer, or let me speak and answer thou me. Because up to this point, Job has seen the heavens as brass. He's not been answered in all of his petitions before the Lord. All right, so then he goes on to talk about his own abasement and how he needs the Lord to vindicate him. Notice, how many are my sins and iniquities? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. If it's true, if this is the result of some sin, then reveal it to me. This is the heart cry of a faithful man at this point. This is one of Job's more lucid moments. So then he says, wilt thou break a leaf driven to and fro? And wilt thou pursue the dry stubble? And so the rest of the chapter then, Job goes on to talk about his own weakness and unworthiness, and that if God would continue to press on him with his hand, he would come to nothing. He uses terms like a leaf and dry stubble. The other thing he says is a garment that is moth-eaten, right? A garment with holes that is, you know, falling apart. And there's one other thing that Job says here that I thought was really interesting in verse 26. For thou writest bitter things against me. This is kind of like, you know, that there's this indictment against Job, right? But then he says this, and makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth. Isn't that an interesting statement? Because I think what Job is saying here is I am so afflicted, and in my present understanding of my own life, I don't have this kind of hypocrisy that my friends are accusing me of. I don't have this kind of secret or hidden or wicked sin. The only thing I can think of, the only thing left is the folly of my youth, and that now the folly of my youth is being visited upon me. And I thought, what a faithful response that is to chastisement from the Lord. Instead of accusing the Lord of being unjust, he says, all I can think of is the follies of my youth and that I'm now being visited upon for those things. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that the cry of a humble servant before the Lord? So while we have seen things in Job up to this point where we might say, Job, that's a little raw there. That's a little touchy. But I'm not sure we want to follow you in that. Here in chapter 13, in one of Job's more lucid moments, we see some particularly faithful statements that give us hope and courage that Job is indeed the man that he says he is. Let's stand then and call upon the Lord in the singing of psalms. Turn with me in your psalters, please.